Good morning. It's Wednesday, July 10th. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shumita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, the uncertainty around Biden's candidacy, a controversial new organ recovery technique, and how a legal document took over the world. But first, let's take a look at some other stories that are in the news. In Texas, residents are struggling amidst dangerous heat in the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl's strike on the state. There are widespread electricity outages. Texas Emergency Management Chief Nim Kidd talked about moves to keep people safe from the high temperatures.
Power, again, is our number one priority. Secondary to that is establishing cooling centers and helping with generators at cooling centers if we need.
Utility officials expect to restore power to a million homes and businesses by the end of today. But hundreds of thousands of people could have issues with power outages for days. As temperatures rise, authorities are encouraging people without electricity to seek out shelters where they can cool off. In Gaza, there are new questions about the state of ceasefire talks amid new Israeli attacks. Hamas's leader says the latest strikes could bring negotiations, quote, back to square one. More than two dozen Palestinians were killed in a Tuesday airstrike that hit a tent camp for displaced families. Gaza medical officials say that most of those killed were women and children. Israel says it's reviewing reports of civilian deaths. More strikes killed additional Palestinians today. Turning to a new study, a team of university scientists found that many popular brands of tampons contain toxic metals, including lead and arsenic. Kristen Upson, one of the researchers, told the NBC station in Raleigh that they're not recommending people stop using tampons. There are still questions about how much impact the metals may have.
What we don't know, and where we need further research, is to understand whether tampons are a source of metal exposure.
And in a very unusual legal settlement, the gunman in the Parkland, Florida school shooting is agreeing to donate his brain for research. He's currently serving a life sentence for the 2018 shooting that killed 17 students and staff members. The brain donation is part of an agreement with one of the survivors, Anthony Borges. His attorney says that studying the brain after the killer is dead could provide data that might help prevent future mass shootings. Let's turn to Washington, where the mood among congressional Democrats can be summed up in a single word: uncertainty.
Based on all the interviews and the conversations I've had, there's significant unrest, and there's just a lot of varying opinions over what to do next.
That's Joseph Ceballos Roig, a politics and policy reporter for Semaphore. He spoke with us from Capitol Hill yesterday about this tense moment for the party. House and Senate Democrats huddled for frank internal conversations about the state of President Biden's candidacy after the debate.
I think the Democrats have a bit of a collective action problem. They're not exactly willing to go to the mat against the Biden campaign. To remove Biden from the ticket, it would probably mean a messy convention fight, and nobody wants those headlines going into November.
He says the Biden campaign is confident it can rally wavering Democrats back to his side. And Biden made some progress this week in the House, with a number of lawmakers shifting their positions and reiterating their support for him in November, or at least not vocalizing the concerns they may have had privately. Ceballos Roig said that in some ways, the meetings yesterday were more like therapy sessions, where lawmakers could air their anxieties and talk about possible next steps. However, there's little consensus on what that might look like.
There really is no plan B at the moment. And that's why so few Democrats are willing to take this confrontation with Biden to the next level, because it requires being very public, very direct, and it would also open this chain of consequences that many do fear could cost them in November.
Fewer than a dozen House Democrats have called for Biden to exit the race, and no Senate Democrat has publicly. But at least one, Michael Bennett of Colorado, raised some concerns on CNN.
Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. And so For me, this isn't a question about polling. It's not a question about politics. It's a moral question about the future of our country. And I think it's critically important for us to come to grips with what we face if together we put this country on the path of electing Donald Trump again.
Zeballos Roig says Biden's team and Democrats on the Hill are closely watching polling, especially in battleground states, to measure voter confidence in his campaign, even as the president himself has publicly dismissed low polling numbers. And they're keeping an eye on donations. After the debate, Biden's team pointed to strong grassroots fundraising as a sign of his support. Some of the campaign's pushback has tried to cast the concerns about the president's age as something that only political insiders and media pundits are discussing. Zeballos Roig said that's not the whole story.
President Biden just recently tried to cast all the unrest, all the unease in the party as a function of party elites, and that he still has the support of grassroots voters. You know, I don't think that's exactly the case when lots of voters have already said they have concerns over Biden's age. It actually went up after the debate.
Biden's advisors want to move the focus to Donald Trump and his agenda. And one other thing that anxious Democrats will watch is Biden's press conference tomorrow at the NATO summit. It will be an unscripted opportunity for the president to address important matters of global affairs, but to also try and quell this uncertainty coursing through the party. Is someone really dead if doctors keep blood pumping to their organs after they're declared dead? That is the question at the heart of a major ethical debate playing out today in the world of organ donations. It has to do with a new technique. Instead of retrieving an organ and putting it on ice after a donor has died, doctors restore blood circulation to keep organs in better shape before removal. Supporters say it's a game changer, that they're able to get more organs to a lot more patients in need. But critics say it blurs the line between life and death. Here's Alexander Capron, a lawyer and bioethicist at the University of Southern California.
I believe the procedure raises very major ethical and legal issues. And yes, I find it disturbing.
NPR went on organ recovery missions with one doctor who performs this new procedure. In fact, it's believed to be the first time a journalist has ever been allowed to see this. Here's what the doctor Marty Sellers told NPR about why it's so remarkable.
If we recover the organ and put it on ice in an oxygen-deprived state, it's not as healthy when it gets into the recipient. And this way, it's actually recovered in a healthier state so that when it does get to the recipient, it's more likely to work.
As NPR explains, there are two ways people can be declared dead and become an organ donor. One is when someone is determined to be brain dead following a traumatic injury or stroke. The other is when the heartbeat and blood circulation have stopped, like after a family decides to withdraw life support. Critics of this kind of organ retrieval method say restoring blood flow to organs crosses a line. In fact, with this method, sometimes the heart starts beating again. Dr. Sellers, along with other proponents, defend the practice, called NRP. They see it as a crucial way to address the shortage of quality livers, kidneys, and hearts. Approximately 17 people die every day in the U.S. waiting for a transplant.
We don't do anything until the donor has been declared dead by all acceptable medical and legal standards. We certainly would not be doing anything if we thought it was unethical. NRP does not cause any additional death, and not doing NRP causes many, many unnecessary and avoidable deaths. We are saving lives. NRP can eliminate deaths on the waiting list. That would have been science fiction just a few years ago.
NPR was there to observe when Dr. Sellers worked on a woman who suffered a stroke. He and his team waited until she was declared dead, then began the process of reviving the blood flow to her organs. Tennessee Donor Services says one of her kidneys was transplanted to a patient, saving a life. Finally, to a story that digs into the history of a fairly boring legal document that's growing more prevalent by the day. Non-disclosure agreements, also known as NDAs, legally bind people to secrecy. They used to be more or less contained to the corporate world as a way to guard trade secrets. But these days, as New York Magazine observed, they're pretty much everywhere you look. People are handing them out to roommates, parents, lovers, even wedding guests. Celebrities are making friends, family, and staff sign them. Leonardo DiCaprio's staff is not allowed to say they even know him. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos had one with his housekeeper that let him buy any story about him for $10 that she might want to try and publish in the media. And you'll find references to these contracts in pop culture. That's a nice lyric from Billie Eilish in her song NDA, but a lawyer would probably advise her to get it signed on the way in. New York Magazine charts how the NDA became one of the most commonly signed legal documents in the world today. And it ends with a nice love story. You can hear that narrated article coming up next if you're listening in the Apple News app. In the podcast app, you can follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And we'll be back with the news tomorrow.